Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, I just want to tell you that CarCast is brought to you by Dodge. It's Dodge Performance Days, where we celebrate speed, power, and performance, and that new car smell gets replaced by the scent of burnt rubber. Check out the Dodge Charger with its available best-in-class 485 horsepower. We have a fun new show today. We got Goldberg calling in, and he's going to tell us about updates on his Cobra project, his crazy NASCAR-powered Cobra project, which is great. And then we're going to tell you about some events we've got, live events that are coming up, and then we'll get in a little bit of a hypercar talk. Maybe it's supercar talk. We'll figure that out. But that's coming up real soon. As soon as I tell you about Continental. If you think of all the weird things that you find in cars, and I'm not just talking about French fries or melted crayons, I'm talking about live snakes, bizarre trinkets, stuff that really makes you wonder about folks. Well, another thing that'll make you wonder, but in a good way, are these Continental belts. I bet you didn't know that they're OE in millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, BMW, VW, and GM vehicles. And Continental has launched their aftermarket multi-V belt with this OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series of belts. They're fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. So Continental's OE technology series multi-V belt, check them out. It's the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, go to oetechnologyseries.com. All right, let's hit it. Let's get started. Hey, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the Moderator, DeAndre with Bill Goldberg calling in. We've got some great fun updates on car projects. And I want to get in a little bit about supercars or hypercars. I don't know when they change name. And I don't know if it's like, when did the supercar become the hypercar? You know, and then is
when they started adding electrification to the motors, I think.
Maybe, or is it maybe when cars like Demons and GT350s became as fast as supercars, they became the supercars, and now anything over like $1 million has to be a hypercar? You know, because it's like...
I guess at this point it's up to interpretation, but I actually had that conversation the other day with somebody.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many quote-unquote supercars there are now, and so I guess to differentiate themselves with a supercar, there has to be another class. So who's to say that you can't make one up?
Yeah, it's interesting because we have so many extreme cars. We have super sedans and sports cars that are, you know, like arguably, let's say a Cadillac CTS-V. That car is badass and it's really fast. Is it a supercar because of how fast
No.
it is? Is it a supercar? Because is it not a supercar because it's 100 grand?
I don't think a Red Eye is a supercar. I don't think a Demon's a supercar. I think supercars have to do with there's a European influence to the moniker, I believe. You know?
Yeah. So I guess so. Yeah. There is. Now we don't
maybe
have...
because that's what we've always been used to.
Right. In our world here, we have what? We had like the Celine S7 supercar. Maybe that's hypercar territory. I believe we have the SSC. Is it the Shelby SSC? No affiliation with the actual Shelby, but they had the SSC. Those are the American ones. Hennessy is doing a thing as well with his. We'll get into that. But then again, it's like, hey, the Tesla Roadster that we talked about before and Adam and I did on the other show. It's like that car is claiming to be zero to 60 in like 1.9 seconds or something, like 2 seconds, and 250 mile an hour top speed. That seems like hypercar numbers, but is it considered that? I don't think it is considered supercar or hypercar. It's just,
I want to get people's definitions of these. I want to see what people, I'm sure they're going to be all across the board, but I'd like to hear from everybody. And
all right. So here's a good question is, what do you guys say is the difference between supercar and hypercar? And the follow-up question is, do you even care? Is it the same or do you care? Like, do we care if we call it hypercar or supercar? And do we need to differentiate or not? If there's a written down version of you know, a definition of those, then let me know, because I didn't Google.
Hey, man,
there.
I think a hypercar is a Ferrari with, you know, a hybrid, you know, system, and it's over 1,100 horsepower. I mean,
okay.
You know, I think that immediately puts it in the hypercar field. That's just, and I think what differentiates it is the adding, you know, of the
some
electrification. Propulsion.
Yeah, so it's got to have some sort of electrification. So, all right, well, that's going to be an interesting thing, because Hennessy has their F5 Venom that they're going to be talking about, and that does not have any electrification to it. So, however, there is another point about that car that I will bring up in a minute as far as setting world records. Who determines the world? Well, I can just do it right now. Is the Guinness Book of World Records has cars listed for the fastest car, not quickest, not 0-60. They have it listed for the top speed. And, you know, Koenigsegg and Bugatti and Hennessy, and they're all going after this. But Guinness defines the record of fastest production car, meaning having built 30 vehicles, built and I guess sold 30 vehicles or more. And the Hennessy, what was the previous one? The new one's the Venom F5. What was the other one?
I don't know.
Yeah, I forgot the one. But you know the one I'm talking about. The Aerosmith guy had one. It was at Barrett Jackson. From what I understand, they actually only built 29 of those. They only ended up building 29. So we didn't qualify for 30 anyway. And the new Venom F5, I believe they're only going to build 25 of. So
yeah, but see, here's the deal.
Really,
nowadays,
the 30.
Nowadays, all you have to do to get in the record books is to redefine the amount of cars. You know, it's like a statistic. You know,
yeah.
This guy's the first left-handed pitcher that's over 6'7" that threw, you know, this many fastballs in this inning, and you know, you can break it down and give analytics to anything now. And what people are doing is people are superseding, you know, boundaries by developing, you know, the qualification, by changing the qualifications, and therefore putting themselves on top. When did that become a thing?
Yeah, that's actually funny. That actually brings up a good point, because we see this actually a lot in the muscle car world, and it's so easy for us to just sort of buy into it. But when you're watching just like a big like Barrett Jackson auction on TV, and you're seeing so many cars come across and talk to the guys, there's hundreds and hundreds of cars there, and you're like, hey, your Mustang looks just like this guy's Mustang. And you're like, yeah, but mine was the only one that came with a 308 gear and the C4 transmission and the rally pack gauges, but without the rally pack. And I was like, all right, so you're kind of making it one of one. But
that was different. That's apples to oranges, I think, because that was back in the day when it wasn't purposely done.
Right. And but also
now it's purposely done so that it can differentiate itself between the other vehicles.
That's actually a very good differentiator. Is back then it wasn't purposely done to be unique. It was done because somebody gave them an option sheet and they said, hey, for $7, I could add a tack.
It was done because only one moron wanted a Panther pink convertible Hemi car.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because only one guy wanted it.
Not because he wanted to be that guy that has the only one.
Yeah.
Only one person wanted it.
Well, it's funny because Brad Fanshaw, my co-host on Shift and Steer, we had this conversation. He's got a buddy down in Orange County. He's got a Lamborghini Aventador SV, and it has the giant SV on the side. And when he bought it, they said, "We promise you, you will have the only white SV with the SV graphic on the side." And he's like, "Great.
Yeah, right.
I'll take it. I'll take it." Right when he gets it, they go to like a Cars and Coffee event. Brad's with them. Right when he pulls up, there's another white one with an SV on the side. And he goes, "What the hell?" And he talked to the guy. And he goes, "No, no, no." He goes, "Yours is the only one with SV stickers. His is painted on." And he's like, "You know the stickers are like $18,000, right? Like, why wouldn't I just get the painted version? And why would you tell me there's a white one with the SV on the, and you cannot tell the difference. You have to go up and rub your finger on it to see the difference between the painted version."
It's like he was so pissed. The demon, or it's like the Challenger, right? I'm not going to say it. We're going to lose our Dodge sponsorship. So forget it. Just pass over that one.
It can't all be. There's some flaws in the system. Everybody knows that, and Dodge should know about it. So
they do, but people don't think to wrap things as opposed to getting blackout packages. But anyway,
right. But anyway, he was definitely irked a little bit when he rolled into his first event and the same exact car was there when he was promised there wasn't another one.
Oh God, I can imagine.
I'm telling you, man, you got to do the research on your own. Don't just trust the salesman's word for it, you know. Anyway, so speaking of cars, well, first let me tell you guys about Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off your dry cleaning, you pick up some milk. Now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com. By the way, thanks, Geico. They've been around for a long time with us. Years, I feel like. Love that about them. Thank you.
Very nice.
All right, so
they know a good partner when they see one.
I sure hope so, because we try to be. You and I didn't get a chance to chat too much this week. Everybody's been busy running around, but I was looking at your social media, and I was looking at our buddy Mr. Clutch over at Center Force, and he posted some videos and. Let's do the little update. You have your Cobra, a Cobra replica, I guess, but the crazy engine that's in it, the NASCAR engine or something you have in it. Well, you and I went for a ride in it. Actually, you guys can go back years ago to a web series I hosted for GQ Magazine called Car Collectors. There's two videos up there with Bill. One is like just like a fun kind of funny Q&A with you. Like five questions or something with you, and then one we take a look at a few cars, and then we go for a ride in the Cobra and we get some donuts done and stuff. And then I don't think in the video is when the cop pulled us over, but they were super nice and they're like, "Oh, it's Bill, it's just Bill."
Way to tease the video.
Yeah. But
that lady was watching us, man, from the bird tower.
I just didn't get that. Like,
you remember that?
Like, this woman was like on her porch, but it's like at the top of a hill, like a mile away. She's like, "These hooligans are out there making noise." Like, I don't know. It was a fun video to do.
It was the Cobra. That's kind of how straight price. You know,
it was good and it was loud and it's fun. You should see the video and you can see a peek into more of Bill's collections, not just late model Dodge cars. There's an old Dodge car. And and I think we even might have talked about a Mustang in there as well. But check it out. But don't judge me on my hosting skills because it was many years ago. So judge me on my smile. That was it. But anyways, you guys can go check that out. So tell us what the Cobra is, and then tell us what our buddy did.
Make an extremely long story short. When I was living in Dawsonville, Georgia, there was a guy named Awesome Bill from Dawsonville, and that wasn't me. It was Bill Elliott. And his shop and his brother's shop was right down the road from my house, and I was fortunate enough to befriend the guys. They were great dudes, and I'd fly to races with them. And you know, I'd drive cars on their runway because they'd use it as a testing ground, you know, for their motors and their projects that they were doing. And Ernie was an engine builder that was building, you know, motors for, I don't know, a quarter of the guys in NASCAR at the time. I don't know the real number, but a number of them. And he did a deal with Superformance, and I think he did 10 of these Cobras, and he was stuffing NASCAR motors in them. And so Tony Pendleton from the Braves got one. And there's a famous story about Ernie or about Bill. I drove my motorcycle up to Blairsville, where Bill's house was at the time. And he took me for a ride in his Cobra, and it was a red one. And he had his son with him, and it was Chase. Hmm. And he was no more than 4 or 5 years old. I might have told the story before, but at the end of the day, number one, I almost shit my pants, and Chase didn't have a seatbelt on and couldn't have had a bigger smile on his face. And
sure.
when we got back to the shop, Ernie said, "How'd you like it?" And I said, "I love it." And he goes, I said, I want one. And he goes, "What color?" And I said, "Black." And he rolled up the garage door, and there was one he built for himself that he sold me on site. So,
What engine is in it?
It's a cup motor, you know. It's I think 348 displacement.
Yeah, maybe 358.
It's pushing 358. It's pushing. It's not detuned, so it's pushing a little over 800.
It's
an absolute death trap. This vehicle.
It's scary.
It's like putting a. Yeah, the best analogy is one of those flat speed boats, you know, the drag boats. That's the only way I can describe it, because it's not an updated brake system. It's not an updated suspension. It's not the best aero car. My shoulders stick over the windshield, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just an absolute toy. It's a killer toy to have. You know, who's got a little Cobra that's got an Ernie Elliott motor in it?
Yeah. It weighs nothing.
Nothing.
And
yeah,
it's just all
so
motor.
Stupidly dangerous.
It's crazy, but it's fun to run in. And you're right, though. It is loud and it's scary. And, you know, it's actually good that it's a little roadster, because like, if you can put a top on it and roll up the windows, if it was a muscle car, you'd probably feel more confident than you probably should be in that car. The sensation
of
speed.
If it was not a little roadster, I would look like the Pope Mobile driving around in that thing, because my head sticks up so high.
Yeah, there's the gurney bubble wouldn't even fit. It would be a gurney cone of some sort.
No, it wouldn't even, not even close. It'd be like trying to put the top up on the XKE that I owned that I never drove.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't fit in it.
Who's that musician guy? Buckethead? I feel like Buckethead's a guitar player. Did he play for Axl Rose, did his band, and he had a guy named Buckethead. I feel like you'd look like Buckethead.
I was wearing the car as an Iron Man suit.
Yeah. Chris is telling me yes, Buckethead's a real guy. Okay. All right, just wanted to make sure I didn't make that up. I wasn't sure if it was Buckethead or Canhead or whatever.
The British guy, the long-haired dreadlock guy, Magnus
Walker, Porsche guy.
The Porsche guy, when he did his pilot, he did it with me over at the house.
Yeah.
And we took that Cobra down the drag strip.
Yeah,
and
it was
right down the road from the house, and it was wet, and he had never driven the car before, and I was terrified because I was in the passenger seat. But my only caveat was that frickin' Will Beatty hadn't picked up the car for 2 years, and so the clutch was out in it.
Yeah,
so he couldn't be using that much power, right? So
Yeah, so it would be slipping if you really got on it.
That was my saving grace.
That's
he didn't kill me.
It adds a level of safety to it. I like Magnus Walker. I describe him as he looks like Rob Zombie, but he talks like Harry Potter.
Exactly. That's a good one.
So Will Beatty is Mr. Clutch. He's our buddy over at Center Force Clutches. Friend for years. Every time I go out to SEMA, I try to get an interview with him, and he's helped me out with my cars as well, and the Mustangs and stuff.
Anything you need, man, he's always there.
He's great. He's the other Richard Waitis of the automotive world, right? He's always there to help out a hand, and those two guys are great, and those two guys are buddies as well. And so finally, after us even hitting the podcast last year, saying car needs a clutch, needs a clutch, needs a clutch, finally the car gets sent out to. Where are they? Like Prescott, Flagstaff, something?
It got sent out. The clutch was the only issue. Then, you know, they install the clutch. Then the speed cable, there's no room for the speedometer cable. It was completely eaten up and burnt in the location that it was. And so it needs to be altered. So there's still no speedo cable. So that was the first issue. Then it had been sitting for so long, the carburetor was leaking. Like a sieve.
Yeah.
So they had to redo the whole carburetor.
Yeah.
And then Will takes it out right before they load it up. And, you know, unbeknownst to me for that moron driving my car. No, he can drive it anytime.
He's a good dude. I trust him with it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, he's got to test the clutch out. And thank God he did, because he heard a clunk. And, you know, we thought it was the locker. I had thought it was... You know, for about a year.
Yeah.
And it's because it only happened when, you know, the car was going very slowly and it was, you know, the wheel was turned, you know, excessively and it was going in reverse. So anyway, so it happened to him, you know, in a different situation. And then I think he got on it a little bit and it started spinning. So the rear end blew out on him. So
it was
they took
a
it apart. And the gears were just chewed up. So they ended up replacing. They ended up getting the Jag rear end, replacing the rear end, sending the gears out. The guy here in Riverside, who I'm going to start dealing with, who does work for Superformance, ironically, and is right up the road.
Yeah.
And so it became, you know, it became a Mark Warman project, basically.
Yeah.
You know, so. Hey, people, don't be afraid when I give you a car. It's not always turning out like this, but let's just say it went in for a clutch and it came out with, you know, four or five things rectified.
The rear
brakes didn't work because there was no fluid. You know, so, I mean, it's just like one thing after another. And so then he's up in Fontana, and then Will Wood's there, and then, you know, Will Wood's working with Superformance with the new brake package and,
Yeah. So then, that's good.
You know, so all that stuff works out.
So now it's going to get all worked out. It's funny because we rely on and so grateful for guys like Will Beatty and Richard Waitis over at Magnaflow as well, because I've taken my BMW down there and I was like, oh, I don't want this stuff. The cats were cut off and it's, you know, it's too hot and blah 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 and it's not making the right noises. And I
if
know
if they didn't connect the dots, we'd never get shit done.
This is
period,
it. It's like
story.
I know. In my head, I'm always like, let me just take it down there. You swap on an exhaust. We'll go get lunch. It'll be done by time. You know, we get back from lunch, and it never works that way. And they know that. So they know it never works that way, and they never want to tell us that. But this is all the shit that piles up on these cars, and this stuff happens. I took the BMW down there, and the guy was working on it. His crew was working on it. Like, as we got closer to the engine, we saw a crack here, and then we saw this wasn't right, and this wasn't right, and the O2 sensors are melted, and the wires are melted. We got to get new ones, and we got to have to order them. And then it ended up taking a week to get the car done. You know, I had to, like, drive home and back. And it's just like, if this is every time we reach out to these guys, go, hey, man, we need a clutch. We need this. And they're hesitant. They're like, we're going to get you on the list. We got to get you in the queue. I'm like, yeah, it's just going to take a few minutes. It'd be on and off in an hour. You can put it in an hour. They know. They don't want to tell us. They're too sweet. But they know it's never going to take that because something else is broken and they're too nice to not address it. So every time we take cars to these guys, and I feel bad for them, but they come back.
But we don't necessarily do it on purpose.
It's not on purpose. Really, I had no idea. We don't know.
That's why I feel so guilty about it. You know?
Listen, when that car was built, it had all that power, and I'm sure you chewed up the rear end, and then as it ate that clutch away, the rear end was fine because you kept slipping the clutch and burning the clutch and whatever. You know, like it was dying, and that's why Magnus Walker couldn't kill you guys in it, because if it had clutch in it, it would be blowing up the rear end.
I'd be dead. Yes.
Yeah, and you'd be dead because there was no brakes and the rear end would have blown up. You know, so as soon as you fix one thing, it starts to show the weak links in everything else. So you got to get all of these things addressed. And I was doing that, and I was building my red Mustang. I was just going through all the brakes and the suspension. Every time I did something, I was like, oh, I'm going with the big bear brakes. I got big 14-inch rotor, 6-piston calipers. And then I said, okay, now what's going to be the next weak link? And I was like, oh, let's look at control arms. And then it's like, let's look at master cylinder. And then on those Mustangs, okay, it's a live axle, right? So if you think about this, the four corners have the rubber line that goes basically from, you know, under the fender of the chassis to the brake caliper, so the suspension can move and the rubber line can go up and down. It's very easy to buy steel braided lines for the four corners, okay? So I did that. And then that hooked up to stainless steel hard lines that I put through the entire car, and those went directly to the master cylinder. So now I'm thinking to myself, I've got 6-piston bears on all four corners. I've got steel braided lines on all four corners. I got stainless steel hard lines, okay? But at the back of the car, above the rear axle, above the pumpkin there, because it's a live axle, there's another rubber hose that goes from the hard line to the live axle so it can move and go up and down. And I kept staring at that thing going, this is the line that's going to break, because everything else is steel braided or stainless steel hard lines. Now I've got a factory rubber line. This is the one that's going to swell up and pop. So I searched all over and I found one company, an aftermarket company, not even a brake company, just a road racing company. And they made a kit for us, a piece of steel braided line to match the rest. And I was like, that's what I want. I just searched. I was like, there's going to be a weak link somewhere. And I just went through and just kind of found out where it is. Now, hopefully, once I get the car running, everything's going to be great. Like right now, we actually do have the brakes all dialed in. They're all spaced correctly. And there's fluid in them. And they're pumped the brakes. And the pressure is fantastic. And it's got the new bear brakes, master cylinder. It's got the proportioning valve on it. So I'm hoping when it sees some track days, there's no longer a weak link. But I'm telling you, that little piece of rubber hose, you would never even think about. You don't get under there when you take the wheels off up on a lift or something. You never even see it up there. It's hard to see. It's always covered in grease. You never know. And I was like, as I redid everything, I was like, this is going to be a weak link. And that's the same case with any of these things. You do the clutch, and then what? How's the transmission? How's the U-joints? How's the drive shaft? How's the rear end? It's like, how are the axles? At some point, when you're putting 800-plus horsepower to the down, and you've got a brand-new clutch, it's putting it all – it's stressing everything.
Price we pay for horsepower.
That's right. So anyway, that being said – you got it back. Did you drive it?
My shoulder hurts a tiny bit right now. And, you know, it's kind of hard for me to shift that car a little bit. It's hard enough for me to pour myself in there.
Yeah.
You know, the manual steering and I'm a little weenie at this point right now. I'm still kind of recovering from my, shocking display of inability to do my former job over in Saudi Arabia. So,
Yeah, got to heal it up. How's Wanda, by the way? She has all 10 fingers and toes?
She's fine. She's still got them. And yeah, she's doing great. You know, she leaves town, you know, two very accident-prone people together. She leaves town, and did you see my post on my personal Instagram?
Which one? Maybe I don't know if I saw it.
The one where I put my Kubota on its roof.
Oh yeah, I did see that. Yeah, your tractor out there. If you guys missed the show last week, Wanda also was in an injury. I don't know. Did she fall off a horse or doing something with a horse and got a bunch of stitches?
No,
in
she
her
was
finger.
Just doing a normal
working on
everyday
the ranch.
Task out with the horses, and a bungee cord gets caught from the horse's halter to her finger and proceeds to. She proceeds to get 23 stitches. So,
jeez. Yeah, I saw your tractor upside down.
Yeah, it was fun, man. It was fun.
was it? And you're wondering why your shoulder still hurts?
No. Hey, man, here's the deal. I grew up in Oklahoma, so I have experience riding horses. And I've had to jettison off of one or two of them in the past. And I seem to believe that I have a bit of foreshadowing left in my tiny little brain. And so, you know, it's like predicting a curveball, you know, when you're batting. I kind of knew it was going to happen. The weight was distributed a little improperly. And, I went pot over kettle. It sucked.
And,
but, you know.
You jumped off?
I rectified it.
You jumped off like you were playing chicken, like in the movie Footloose.
Oh, you got it. It was kind of like musical chairs, but it was musical tractors.
It's a big tractor. How do you get to flip it back over? You got to get a truck out there and some ropes?
It's a big tractor. I'll take a picture and put another post up next to the tractor that pulled it out. It didn't actually pull it out. It lifted it up and righted itself and then placed it back down. I've got, fortunately, friends in high places that have done certain things in their line of work, and I do have a guy who life is working with big machines like this, and yes, he has flipped a machine before. So immediately when I did it, I reached out to him, and it's like any other guy in the car world. You know, if you break down, then you know who to call.
Yeah,
and I'll be damned if we didn't have a skip loader driving up to my house. You know, at 8:30 last night, and at 6:30 this morning, we got it uprighted. So. You know, just keep my fingers crossed that Kubota motor is going to be fine after it righted itself and everything drains back to where it should be.
Yeah.
But yeah,
get it going again.
Thank God. It was a harrowing experience.
It's a little funny,
though. Like I said, don't let one experience like that, you know, dictate what happens the rest of the week, because I knew that I had a guy, you know, and you got that guy. Richard Waitis is that guy. Will Beatty's that guy. If you didn't have that guy in the car world, it'd be a lot different.
If only you had a truck with a crate engine, you could have pulled it over, Mark Warman. Oh, it's not done yet.
Man, he's got another issue. It's the drive shaft now not mating. It's, you know, I feel so bad for him, man. I mean, it's not a Chris Jacobs, you know, what was it? Would he put it in a 69 satellite or something?
Yeah, yeah.
For the GTX. It's just not a plug and play
it's
like
not
that.
A plug and play.
You know, after all the alterations and fabrications and. Christ, I feel so bad for him. It's just out of his league. It's not out of his league as far as knowledge to get the work done, but it's not what he works on. So
yeah,
I just feel bad asking him to take time away from what he's doing, but that's what friends are for. And, you know, hey, you should have started a year ago. He would have known back then.
It's a custom project. It's custom. He's got to do custom work. This isn't an easy deal, but,
I told him if it was any consolation, the pictures looked great.
Right? Yeah. He's like, you'll get it. You're good at this. This is what you do. Anyway, speaking of Warman and Dodge, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Dodge. There's no better time to celebrate speed, power, and performance than during Dodge Performance Days. So hurry in and replace that new car smell with the scent of burnt rubber or tipped over tractors, apparently. I'm not sure. We'll see.
Speaking of toys, burnt oil.
Speaking of new toys, we got a forklift. We got a forklift over the shop. Our guy at the shop is always on like these crazy little like local auction sites and like police auctions and stuff. This wasn't a police auction, but he's constantly looking at that stuff. And he's like, we need another forklift. We finally need like a forklift. If you guys listened to CarCast a while ago and Adam and I were talking about, we spent, I don't know, however long, getting the Camel GT pace car up on the big podium. We had to like build the racks and put jacks under them on the ramps and put jacks under them so they don't bend up. And, the way we got it up there last time is we had the forklift, but we borrowed a forklift from the neighbor, and the neighbor moved away, so we didn't have one. And finally, you know, we found one, pretty good deal, and he just got it over there, and he's, you know,
oh,
going through it.
Forklift,
huh?
Everyone needs a forklift.
Oh my gosh, this is good. This is the best thing in the world. It's extra heavy duty. It's pretty new. It was always stored inside. You know, it's got a couple little bumps on it like every forklift should, but
maybe he flipped it like I did.
I hope not. I don't think he did, but he got it and he wants to like just quickly go through and make sure everything's running the way it's supposed to and it all works out good. But I went over there today and it's sitting out the parking lot and they kind of got it apart and I don't know why, but I was like, ooh, sweet forklift.
tell him to pick up the dumpster. Put it as hot. Put it at the apex of the rack, and yep. Then go about 5 miles an hour and go left and right as fast as possible.
Oh, I'm telling you, we've already done some pretty
and video it.
Oh, we've done some pretty scary things, and we're going to be moving to a new shop. And we were talking about it. It's like, we need to stack up canisters and cut holes in them and put cars in them. And we're like, yeah, but how are you going to do that? He's like, forklifts. And I'm like, great, let's go buy a forklift. So I remember having this conversation.
Like super glue.
Oh my gosh. I had this conversation with Adam and I said, hey, in the new place, we can get these three high stacker lifts, but they're 25 grand a piece. I said, or we can buy six canisters for like $1,500 a piece and save a bunch of money, but also we need to buy a forklift. And then we're going to modify it. He's like, eh, let's go with the forklift idea. It sounds more fun. I was like, nice.
Awesome.
We're going to be building that out. And now we've got a cool forklift to play around with, which is good. It makes things easier. So the other update is SpeedCore. So we guys gave you many episodes we talked about. You sent your Hellcat out to SpeedCore in Wisconsin, I believe. Wisconsin. They did a carbon fiber body package on it. They pumped up the horsepower a little bit. You did the great Hoonigan video and tore it up. And then when you came home, you said, hey, I saw a cool roll cage at your place. I want one of those. And then you said, are you doing any Dodge Charger parts? And they said, yes, sir, we are. And you said, great, I want those too. So what's the status? You've got...
Well, the deal is that there's a big music festival up in Milwaukee this weekend. And I'm going to make an appearance up there. And it just so happens that SpeedCore, I think they have a display out at the music fest. Mm. And at the same time, I'm going to go over and tour the complex, the shop, and get to see my beautiful Challenger, and you know, talk to them specifically about what needs to be done to that, and then go into the next little project that I'm doing with him. I don't know how much we went into it last week, but. I'm going to do to that Charger, which is the first Charger, what I did with my first Challenger. I'm going to wide body it. I'm going to carbon fiber it. As far as the motor's concerned, it's going to make everything that I've got and everything that he's done look like nothing. I told him that I wanted, you know, something that stands out and something that people aren't going to be able to catch up to for a while. So, the word demon came into play. So, we know that there's a lot of room left in those motors.
Yeah.
And so I think we're playing around with one. I know they're playing around with one right now, and that's what's going to go in the Charger, and it's going to be wide body, and it's going to be carbon fiber, and it's going to be bad to the freaking bone. I cannot wait to get that car, and we might all-wheel drive it. You know?
Oh.
So my visit up there is going to be to pretty much break down what we need to do with that car, because it's going to serve a purpose, like I said, and I can't wait to build that thing.
All-wheel drive would be an interesting task, although we know there are all-wheel drive chargers, because we talk about that here all the time.
Yeah, like I said, SpeedCore's got a conversion kit that makes all new generation chargers and Challengers. All-wheel drive.
We know we talked to guys about the Trackhawk, and that all-wheel drive system handles a crap ton of horsepower. And I'm curious about the Charger, if it's a similar – I don't know what's in the Charger as far as getting it all-wheel drive. Is it just a slammed Trackhawk? That would be fantastic. I feel like it's probably not. I'd be interesting to get some information from those guys about how is it done, or do they make their own system? They have a conversion kit.
Tuesday you'll know.
Yeah, is there a conversion kit, Mopar and Dodge parts, or are they having to make some of their own parts and things like that? Maybe they can.
I think they made some of their own parts.
I'm sure they're updating half shafts and things like that, and drive shafts and whatnot. So, could be interesting. Could you imagine wide body Charger? Let's say 1,300 horsepower and all-wheel drive?
It's going to be sick. It's going to be a completely different category. So,
it might be
hypercar worthy. I don't know.
It could be hypercar worthy. And then if that drivetrain is really beefy, I mean, you could probably hit up your buddies at Nitto, put like NT05s or drag radials in all four corners.
Well, rumor is we're having tires built for it. So it's they're gonna be the widest tires, you know. Yes, there's gonna be a couple surprises on this car, so it's gonna be fun. That's why I need to talk to them in person about it.
Yeah, you need to go out there and kind of get the lowdown and get some ideas, and I'm sure they're gonna have a nice little presentation set up for you to get it done. Ooh, that's exciting. I like the idea. I like the idea of going extreme and kind of being the first, like, let's do a little R&D, you know, let's figure out what we need to do and what we need to improve on. And I dig that. I like some of that stuff.
Why not, man? You know, you only live once.
Anyway, that all being said, I don't know that we're going to get, we have much time to get into my hypercar talk. I wanted to get into some of these cars like Koenigsegg, 1,600 horsepower, you know, the Aston Martin Valkyrie, which, by the way, is basically an LMP1 race car with a license plate on it. It's just like, it's so insane. Venom F5, the Hennessy Venom F5 is targeted at 1,600 horsepower. It's going to be a V8 twin turbo, and they're saying 300 mile an hour top speed, sub 10 seconds to 186 miles an hour. And I saw the engine on display at SEMA and at the Quail last year, but I don't know if you guys saw my post. Is a couple weeks ago, so here in LA, we have a big event called E3. It's the Electronic Entertainment Expo. E3 is the SEMA show for video games, and every time that happens, it's here at the LA Convention Center. All the big companies are out there, and our friends from Forza Motorsport go out there, and they always have a big display, and they have some events and partner events and consumer events and things like that. And they invited me to one of their smaller events with all their bosses and stuff over there. And it was fun to go over there and chat with them and catch up with everybody. And they had a Rimac over on display in there. The Rimac is that all electric supercar, hypercar, whatever. It's very famously the one that Hammond wrecked on the Grand Tour. That crazy one, he was doing that hill climb and like went off the edge, and he's okay, yep. Thank God. But that was just a crazy thing. And I think the Rimac, I think that's a prototype car. I don't know if that was even ever a production car. But the one that they are planning on producing, it's called the C2. It's very, very nerdy. It's C_TWO. So it's not C2, it's C2, whatever. It's electric. And we love the electrification of some of these things because of the amount of torque, Right. So this thing is 1,888 horsepower and 1,696 pound-feet of torque. They say top speed of 258 miles an hour, which is great for an electric car. I don't know how the transmission works, if it even has gears or if it's just one like most electric cars. They're saying 0 to 60 in 1.9 seconds, and it'll do the quarter mile 9.1 seconds in street trim.
Good Jesus.
And it's just – it is insane, right? It's insane. So the one that I saw at the Forza Motorsport event, I believe was their Concept 1. That was 1,200 horsepower and like 1,180 pound-feet of torque and 221 top speed. That's how they – now we're talking almost 1,900 horsepower and 1,700 pound-feet of torque. Anyway, it's going to be insane, and it's actually pretty cool looking. I'm a fan of it. By the way, they're also saying 400 mile range. Obviously not at 258 miles an hour, but it's a 120 kilowatt battery pack, and it has 6,960 liquid cooled lithium ion cells that power this thing, and it looks kind of badass. I like it. So of all these crazy hypercars that are coming out, the Rimac one gets my attention, and the Koenigsegg Jesko because of the way this thing looks and this crazy wing in the back. And we'll get into more on that one at some point when we have more time. But the Jesko will be $3 million. It's going to be almost 1,300 horsepower, 1,281, I think. It's a combination of 5-liter V8, 5-liter V8 with flat plane crank and all kinds of good stuff. So we'll break that down a little bit more later. Anyway, speaking of E3 and speaking of video games, I know you've been working with our buddies over at Make Model Year. They have the iPhone app. I think it's maybe a mobile app, but maybe it's on different platforms as well. It's this great game that you guys can play. Our buddy Adam Young and his partner have been putting this together. And I went on there and I started playing the game. And what it is like, it's like speed rounds, you against somebody else remotely, and you see like little pictures of pieces of car, and you have to guess the car. And it goes quick, and it kind of speed rounds, and it'll progressively get more complex. But you got tied up with them too, right, Bill?
Yeah, man. You know, they seem to think that I know a little bit about cars, and I had a couple ideas. It was an idea brought to me by a guy that I had worked with years and years ago on the Lawman when we reintroduced it to Ford and did the tour stateside. And, he and I had done some cool things back in the past, and this seemed to be a really cool idea because it was something that I had always done as a kid, you know, with my dad. And it seemed to be something that a lot of people always did with their when they were riding down the street.
Yeah, guess the car.
You know, whether they're guess the car by the taillights, guess the car by the headlights, what year is that car, you know. So I just thought it was a no-brainer. It was something I got involved with, and you know, they just kind of threw the thing out there, and it's a lot of fun, man. It's frustrating as hell. I think I threw my computer three or four different times, but you know, you want to get every one of them, right? But you just really can't.
So
it's going to be cool. They got a lot of neat stuff. They're going to have user downloads to where you can, you know, throw your own pictures of your own vehicle up there and have it be part of it.
So that's the thing. They're constantly going to do updates, and they're going to add more stuff to it. But it's fun. It looks good. I want to make sure. So this is what you do is go to your app store, type in the word, just search for make model, right?
Yep.
Like make model year, but do it as one word, make model,
yep.
MAKEMODEL, search for make model. You'll see a black sort of diamond shaped, a black logo with a little car in the middle. And when you click on it and it opens up like the screenshots of the app, you'll see Goldberg. And if you see Goldberg, that's the right one. And click and download it. It's free. You guys will have some fun with it. I was at the top of the leaderboard for a while, and then I was playing so much.
Oh, I'm sure you were.
I was just sitting at home. I was at the top of the leaderboard. I was crushing it. And by the time I got to the top of the leaderboard, I realized I had no pants on. I was growing a beard. My lights weren't on. I was like, what? And so I put the phone down and I went outside. but it was fun. It was fun to do. So guys, check that out. Make Model is the app. All right. So we're going to wrap things up. I'm going to tease a couple little things for you. This is what we've got going on. We don't have the exact dates, but just so you know, Roadkill Nights in Detroit again, probably August 10th, I believe, is a Saturday. Bill and I are going to be there. We're going to be doing CarCast Live, probably some other fun stuff. So if you're planning on going out to the Woodward Dream Cruise or the week before, I believe Roadkill Nights is 2 days this time, Friday and Saturday. And we're going to be out there probably Saturday. We'll give you more details as we get closer to that date. But get a little heads up. If you're up in that area, come out and say hi. I want you guys to come out, see CarCast Live, and I want a whole big giant audience there to scream, Goldberg, Goldberg, because screaming CarCast sounds weird. So come out to that event. And then another event that is going to be fun is we're starting to do CarCast events, CarCast car shows and live shows. And we did our first one at the Peterson Museum, and thanks to everybody who came out to that. And we've learned some things from that event. So we're doing another one, and we're doing another one. So the next one is going to be in Portland. It's at a car museum in Portland. I think it's going to be Friday, August 30th. There's going to be a car show. And then Adam and I are going to be out there. We're going to do CarCast Live, and we're interviewing Mario Andretti. So come out, see that, show us your car. See Mario Andretti, and we're going to have a great time doing that event as well. And then we're going to get you guys more details, but I just had the meeting yesterday to lock this in. The week of the SEMA show, Bill, you got to come out to this one. You got to start making a plan for this one, okay? SEMA show is the first week of August. It's a Tuesday, or sorry, November. It's a Tuesday through Friday. That Friday, that last Friday of SEMA at the I believe at a hotel, we'll let you know, probably the Palms Hotel, we're going to have a meet and greet of us. It'll be me and Adam and hopefully Bill as well. And then we're going to show you our Shelby documentary. And then Saturday, we're going out to Speed Vegas. It's the nice new track where you rent crazy supercars, and they have an off-road track where they have the little trophy trucks. We're going to do a huge CarCast car show event there. We're going to do a live CarCast show, and you guys can go. We're getting package deals set up that you can rent the cars and do as many laps as you want. You can rent a 5-lap package or 10-lap package. You want a Shelby. You want Roush Mustangs. You want Ferrari. You want Corvette. You can rent whatever you want, and you can go out to that dirt track and do the off-road trucks, which I've done before. It's great. So we're going to have a car show, a track day event where you can rent crazy supercars. We're going to do a live CarCast show. And what I think we should do is, and this is great, we're doing this right now, is Bill, I haven't even talked to you about this yet, but you should bring a car, whatever you think is insane, and make sure it has a passenger seat, and we'll do a few ride-alongs. And I was talking to Adam, and I think I convinced him to bring his Paul Newman Porsche 935 race car. We're going to put the shotgun seat in it, and we're gonna figure out how, but we're going to do a limited amount of ride-alongs with fans from the show. And
what can I bring to make me cool next to that?
I think maybe you bring one of these Speedcore wide bodies out. I think it'd be fantastic to do that, and I'm gonna bring something out as well. I don't know what yet. I might hit up one of our friends in the automotive world, in the supercar world, and say, "What do you got?" And I'll find some crazy supercar or something, and we'll do laps. So the way the track works is right now there's no insurance waivers or amount of insurance to allow fans on the track yet. I'm trying to change it. I don't think it's going to happen, but you can go out there. You can rent crazy supercars. It'll be fun. There'll be instructors there to help you out, and we're going to do a few ride-alongs, and I would love for you and I and Adam to each have a car out there and do some ride-alongs.
Nice.
It would be fun. It's going to be great. So plan for that weekend, the last weekend of SEMA. By the way, everybody, you guys can go The SEMA is trade only. It's industry only. But they close up a little bit early on Friday. They do their big car show called SEMA Ignited. So go to that. All the cars that are inside at the SEMA show, they roll out, and it's a public event. It's like $20 a ticket, something like that. And on Friday evening, probably like 4 o'clock, I think, 4 to whenever, you can go to SEMA Ignited. And then after that, meet us at the hotel, do a meet and greet with us, get a Shelby a dock screening, and then come out to the track that Saturday. So if you guys are planning on being at SEMA, make sure you don't leave till Sunday because we're going to have a really good time and at that track. So anyway, I'll get more details. I'll get ticket prices. I'll get times and locations and all the stuff that we're going to lock in. But put that on your calendar. It's going to be fun. All right. That's it. We're going to wrap things up. Of course, you can check us out at carcastshow.com. You can follow me at Moderator. You can follow Goldberg. He's Goldberg and Goldberg Garage on Twitter, Goldberg95 and Goldberg's Garage on Instagram. Of course, we're on iTunes and Podcast One. And we, you know, if you like the show, tell a friend, tweet it out there, put it on your Facebook page. We appreciate that. Let's see. Do I have anything else? No, that's it. So thanks, Bill. I appreciate it. I'm glad you got your Cobra back. And when you heal up and turn your tractor back over, then you get your Cobra and see how it runs. Have a good trip over at Speed Corps and give us an update next week. Let us know how
it goes. I will do it. There's no question, man. And you be well and keep the rubber side on. Keep the rubber side down.
Yeah, definitely do that. You should do that. All right, guys. Thanks. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
And the rubber side down.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Carcast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on carcastshow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. Carcast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.